There we go. All right.
Good morning to you. I know, I want to tell you, last night I had a very long prayer time, and I prayed that God would bring some new people today. So we got like six. So I want to thank you for listening to whatever God prompted you to come this morning, because that's just, God is good, right? All the time. So good morning. Another thing I learned this morning already, has anyone ever watched the UFC? You know, like octagon fighting? Okay, a lot of fans here. Okay, so when the UFC comes out, each fighter has their own theme song. And I thought it was gonna, mine was gonna be Sabotage by the Beastie Boys, but I realized that song that we did today, that if though people surround me, I know you're surrounded by you, that's my UFC fight song.
Yeah.
If I get into the octagon at 44, that's what I'm gonna fight with, all right? Because that was so powerful. So thank you, worship team. That was like, that was spot on, awesome power this morning. So nice job. All right, so we're gonna start off with another game this morning here at Northside. And this game is called And the Winner Is. I'm going to give you either two people or two groups who have battled against each other, and you're going to decide who, we already know who the winner was, but you'll take a guess who you think the winner was of whatever it was. Who came out victorious? Oh, go for it. All right, in the fight, Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor. Who won?
Mayweather,
very good. All right, so you do know fighting, okay. All right, and we have someone from Philly here today, so this is exciting. In the last Super Bowl between the Eagles and the Patriots, who won?
The
Eagles. Raise your hand, Philadelphia. She's from Philadelphia right there. I didn't even know that, and we're celebrating your team. That's awesome. Back to 1992 between Bush and Clinton, who won? It was Clinton who won that one, yeah? Usain Bolt against anybody in the world? Okay, fastest man in the world, there you have it. Yes, okay. Best picture of 2017, if you remember this, in the Oscars, it was a very interesting thing. They called the wrong one. What was the best picture?
La La.
It was Moonlight. But remember they announced La La Land and they all came up and then it was... Yeah, that was awkward, thousands of miles away, that felt bad. So it seems like in the majority of our lives, there's some sort of measurement or scale to determine who is the greatest or who is the winner. Like, you can't just go to high school, there's a valedictorian, right, that is the best in high school. And you can't just win the Super Bowl, there's an MVP of the Super Bowl. And you can't just work at Kentucky Fried Chicken like my honey did for so many years. There's an employee of the month for Kentucky, which he's won on three different occasions. Yeah. We have the plaque at home to prove his victory on that. Right now, there's a lot of conversation and who is the greatest basketball player of all time, right? And who is what we call the GOAT? Who's the greatest? Do you know who it's between? It's between three players.
LeBron James,
Michael Jordan. Does anyone know the third? Don Schmitz. All right? So, it's of our own congregation. Yeah. It's difficult to say, maybe not for Chicagoans, but it's difficult to say who the greatest basketball player is of all time. Yet we have debates about it because we want to pronounce an ultimate winner. We want to know who is the greatest of all time. And whether you're competitive or not, right? Whether you're competitive or not, most people do prefer to be on the winning team. We mostly do. About 6 years ago, our family and Eugenie's family, we went to the Renaissance Fair together. Here's a cute pic of these two soulmates. All right, there's Kate and Sam. Sam was like 1.5, I think, at the time. And we went to the Renaissance Fair, and there's always a battle at the Renaissance Fair. I don't know if you've been there, between knights. And so there's four knights, and there's this battle, and they like joust each other, and then they fake die until there's one reigning victorious. There's a winning knight. And when you go to this last battle, there's four quadrants. So you're either sitting in this knight's quadrant, this knight, or this knight, and that's the person you cheer for. So you sit in the section you cheer for. So the day we went to the Renaissance Fair, it was very, very crowded, and there was a lot of us. So when we got to the last battle, we just took whatever open seats were there. And we ended up in the bad knight section, okay? Like the evil... evil knight, just pretend. So the evil knight section. And the storyline throughout all of Renaissance Fair, it's really exciting because the storyline goes throughout is this anticipation of the final battle where you know the good knight is going to beat the bad knight. And you're anticipating this victory. And the other two knights are just fillers, okay? They're just fillers for there. So we sit down this section. It takes my son Cameron, fifth grade at the time, about 2 minutes to realize he's in the bad knight section. He doesn't say a word to any of us. Gets himself up, leaves all of us, his best friend Zaya, makes his way to the other side of the arena. I'm sure he was safe. Other side of the arena, squishes himself into the front row and starts cheering for the good knight with all of his heart. We obviously didn't care, really, whatever, right? Right? But he's cheering. And afterwards, I had to find out why Cameron moved. Cameron, I kind of knew because I knew the boy. Why did you move? He already knew who was going to conquer, and he wanted to be on the winning side. He wanted to be on the winning side. In life, there is winning, and there is losing. And frankly, in spiritual lives, there is winning, and there is defeat. And we can be on that victorious. We can choose to sit and cheer for that victorious side, or we can kind of go our own way with our own thoughts, with our own plans, and we can live defeated lives. And part of living a victorious spiritual life is being with the goat, the greatest of all time, Jesus Christ, the God-man. He's the greatest of all time. Let's read our W memory verse together. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Romans 8:37. That sounds like the winning team. More than conquerors is an interesting saying, right? It's not simply that you just won or that you were victorious. You're saying we were overwhelmingly victorious, right? There was this contest and there was this battle and it wasn't even close. It's like Elmo going against King Kong, you know? Not close. It's like Michael Jordan not playing against LeBron James, okay? Because if he wins, it's going to be by a small margin. It's like Michael Jordan playing against a baby seal who's blind and been out of the water for several hours, right? That is the type of victory we're talking about here. More than conquerors. And God's saying that this is the type of life we can have. It should give you goosebumps. It's not a regular victory. It's an amazing victory. And why are we more than conquerors? Is it because we've trained? We've run 5 miles a day. We take supplements. We eat clean. Is that why we're more than conquerors? Are we more than conquerors because we've read a dozen self-help books on success and leadership, and now we're more than conquerors? Or is it maybe because we've learned the art of meditation and mind over matter and strategy skills? Does that make us more than conquerors? This verse tells us exactly why we are more than conquerors. And frankly, it has very little to do with us. We are more than conquerors through him, the greatest of all time, Jesus Christ. That's why we're more than conquerors. We're more than conquerors because Jesus has selected us for his team. And if you believe that Jesus Christ saved you, that he died on the cross for those sins, and you've become a Christian, that you've been saved through faith, you are now on Team Jesus. You're on his team, and he conquers for us. Look what Romans says. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also be able to give us everything else? We're with the best. We're with the GOAT. You know, remember picking teams when you were younger in gym? It could have been painful, right? And nowadays, they don't do that too much, of course, because it makes kids feel bad about themselves. Because when it came time for picking teams, who were you choosing? The best players, right? You were choosing the people who were going to give you the victory. And that makes sense, right? If I want to win, people say I'm competitive. Not really. If I want to win, right, and I'm in charge of picking my team. Let's say we're in a swimming contest, and I can pick anybody in the world to be on my swimming team. I'm calling him, right? Or I'm calling the kid who beat his record 2 weeks ago. That's amazing, right? Or if I'm in charge of picking my team, and let's say we're playing gymnastics today. Yeah, I'm giving Gabby a call, right? That's who I'm doing. I'm picking her. If we want to have victorious lives, our very best option is always to go with Team Jesus. It's always to go with Team Jesus. We're more than conquerors because of Him. Because we're on His team. So let's look at the context of our verse, because this whole chapter in Romans, matter of fact, the whole book of Romans is so powerful. It's so motivational. Its words are greater and even more motivating than the soundtrack to Rocky IV, which you know by now is the greatest Rocky movie of all time, right? Have you learned nothing from me? Yes, all right. So Romans 8 breaks down to us why exactly we are more than conquerors. And in Paul, he is the inspired author of this text, and I love that Paul is the author of this text because he has a sketchy past. Mm-hmm. He has a sketchy past. And he has done so many things that he's not proud of. And he hated the Christians, and he despised the spreading of Christianity, and he made it his personal mission to end the spreading of Christianity. He has baggage, right? Look how he describes himself to Timothy. This is a trustworthy saying, Timothy, and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them all. But God had mercy on me so that Christ Jesus could use me as the prime example of his great patience with even the worst sinners. Then others will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life. You know, we may have messed up, but through Christ, we are condemned or criticized. Do you have baggage? Not that you went out and persecuted Christians, but have you ignored God? Have you followed the desires of the world and the flesh and sinned against God, sinned against another? Have you made choices or been a part of events that you're just plain ashamed of? Are there things that you wish you'd never said, things that you wish you never did? Paul has that kind of past, and frankly, we all have that past because we're all sinners, right? But Paul then writes, knowing that he is, believing that he is the worst of the sinners, writes this. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, because you're on Team Jesus, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. You might have messed up, but guess what? You're not condemned. You're not denounced. You're not slammed. You're not blasted. You're not blamed. You're not chastised. You're not berated. You're not even reviled. We're not sentenced. We're not convicted. We're not faulted. Because we belong to Jesus, who is the only wise judge capable of deeming us as forgiven. Now, there's earthly consequences to bad choices. There are. There are earthly consequences to bad choices. But as far as you and him go, as far as eternity goes, despite your past, you have forgiveness. That's amazing. Jesus Christ, our teammate, frees us from the power of sin that leads to eternal separation from him. We are no longer condemned. We are freed from the power of sin. Those are two things that make us more than conquerors. Do you live your life like you're no longer condemned? Or do you spend half the day beating yourself up? Do you live like you're free from the power of sin? Or do you say, I just can't help myself, I have to do it? Can you imagine what life would be like if we fully grasped just these two things that make us more than conquerors? If we were ready to throw out the door the shame, throw out the door the guilt, the condemnation, and live a life that is free from the power of sin. I don't have to do this anymore. I don't have to live this way because guess what? I'm free from it. I'm more than a conqueror. Romans 8:3 says this, why we are. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. That is huge. My goodness, we have the best teammate. We are free from the power of sin, not just for eternity's sake, which would be enough, but also in this life. It says we can take that power and we can be free from sin today, tomorrow, next week, when stress is happening in our lives, when someone hurts our feelings. We can fight the feeling to sin. You know, every Christian receives this more than conquering power, but not every Christian uses it. So what else does our overwhelmingly victorious more than conqueror's life look like? Paul goes on to describe it. Those who are dominated by sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. When we are more than conquerors, we can have a Spirit control our minds. I don't know about you, but my mind goes places I don't want it to go, right? We can have the power of Christ to control our minds, and we could have peace. Oh, doesn't everybody want peace, right? When you have peace, it doesn't have a hard time falling asleep at night, right? When you go to your mailbox, you're not stressed about what you're going to find in your mailbox because you have this peace. But we get this idea that we can only have a life of peace when everything is lined up just perfect, right? We picture peace like this. This is peace, right? Nothing to do but chill. No conflict, no worries, no dirty laundry to fold, no nagging boss, no upsets, no ex-husband, no ex-spouse, no regrets. That's not peace. That's just a really, really easy day. All right? That's not peace. And we've touched on a couple of times in our Bible memory series here that nowhere in Scripture does it say that peace is based on circumstances. Peace is not based on circumstances. Peace is more like the Calgon experience. Does anybody remember Calgon Take Me Away? Let's see an old commercial from my childhood. Calgon, take me away. That's more what peace is like. It's like when everything in life is topsy-turvy, out of control, you're having the worst day ever or just a mediocre day, and it's not Calgon, take me away, it's Jesus Christ, take me away. That's what it is, because that's miraculous. I tried it as a child. It does not work that way, right? It does not work that way, and I gave it to my mom many times. It does not work that way. It's not a catch-all like I'm healed, I'm everything's over, I'm in this bathtub around Roman pillars. It's not that. But with Jesus, it is. He is saying, if you are more than a conqueror, I'm going to give your mind a break, and I'm going to give you peace. That's really what he's saying. He's not lying about it. He's saying, I give you that kind of peace. You're not going to find it in drugs. You're not going to find it in alcohol. You're not going to find it sleeping around. You're not going to find it in whoever thinks you're great. You're not going to find it in a victory on the sports field. You're not going to find it in your paycheck. You're going to find it only through me. That's amazing. If we follow God, if we follow the team the way God wants us to be on the team, we're going to have that peace. It's a promise. When you are on Jesus' team and you play according to Jesus' rules, you will have peace. And all Christians can have this peace, but sadly, not all of us have it. Imagine what life would be like if you allowed the Spirit to control your mind and experience the peace at every break, every turn, every walk of our lives. What would that be like? We'd be living like more than conquerors, for sure, right? What other perk do we have in this more than conquering life? We are made right with God. Romans 8, 9, and 10. This is a great chapter. If Bible memory, you want a new thing to memorize? Memorize Romans 8. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them don't belong to him at all. They're not on his team, right? And Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, because we all die, that's what happens in this world, the Spirit gives you life. This is eternity. Because you have been made right with God. We are more than conquerors because we have been right with God. And being right with God came at a very hefty price. It was very expensive. And you would think that we would be the ones to pay that cost, but we aren't. Think of it this way. Say you break a window. Oh no, I broke that window, okay? You break a window. And you have to go to that person's house because you have to make it right by them. You did something to get in the way of your relationship, to hurt them, to cause them loss. You have to make it right by them. So you go to that person and say, hey, oh no, I broke that window. And they're like, okay, well, the cost of the window and labor and my time and stuff, it's gonna cost you about $250, okay? So you pay it in order to make it right. That's normal. That's what we expect in life, right? What is not normal, what Jesus has done, say we break the window. Oh no, I broke that window, right? And you go to that person that you wronged to make it right, and you say to them, you know, what do I need to do to make it right? And they say, well, in order for this to be right, you know, between you and me, I'm gonna pay for it. I'm gonna pay for it, and I'm gonna give you even some extra because the time you took to even just come tell me what you did wrong. And then you would be like, huh? And then he would be like, yeah, I know, that's weird, right? But that's in essence what God does. That's what God does. We messed up. We messed up and he pays the price. We mess up our relationship with him and he gives his son as a sacrifice so that we can have the Spirit of God living inside us. And that's what makes us right with God. He takes care of it. Then he looks down, he says, you and me, we're all right, we're good. You know, I know that there was stuff between us, but it's okay now. There's nothing between us. You're good with me. It's all right. What should our response to this be? Pure gratitude? Pure relief? Joy? Appreciation? That we have life beyond the grave? That God made us right with him? Right now, this is a hallelujah amen, Helena, right?
Yes.
There you go. All right. Yeah. God made us right with him. He paid the price for us. It's weird. It's weird. So what else makes us more than conquerors? It's my favorite part. We are heirs. We are God's children. Romans 8 continues, for this spirit joins us with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are the heirs of God's glory, but we are to share in his glory. We must also share in the suffering. This is because we're different from the world. You know, last month I was looking to buy a new car, and we went to CarMax first, and the man who was helping us had a Jamaican flag on his desk. And so I asked him, oh, are you from Jamaica? And he proudly said, yes, I am. And then I looked at his business card, and on his business card, his last name was Bolt. And I said, how interesting, you know, like, you're from Jamaica, Usain Bolt, the fastest man in the world is from Jamaica, that's cool. And then with such pride, he proceeded to tell me that Usain Bolt is his third cousin. For real, it's his third. My third cousin, it was Usain Bolt, and he was telling me all about him growing up, all the things he knows about him, blah, blah, blah. Well, I didn't want to deflate him, you know, but I could one-up him, right? I could one-up him, because I could have said to him, you know, you might be Usain Bolt's third cousin. I'm a child of God.
Yes.
You know God?
Yes.
I'm his daughter.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like first generation daughter, right?
Yes.
This is your extended family. I'm a child of God.
Yes.
I don't think we fully grasp that concept, that he was willing to adopt us into his family, that we're heirs of the kingdom of heaven. He's our dad. Well, of course we're more than conquerors if God is our dad, right? That's a name drop right there.
Wow.
Right? Yeah. But wait, there's more. We are more than conquerors because we will have freedom from sin and decay. Romans 8 continues, creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. For we know all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us, which is a foretaste of future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as adopted children, including the new bodies he promised us. I don't know about you, but I'm getting some new knees.
Thank you.
Yeah? And I'm getting my other half of my colon back, right? I don't know if we need that in heaven, but I think I might, you know? We are going to have new bodies and new minds. And Scripture already tells us there's not going to be any crying in heaven, so we're not going to be dwelling on past sins either we've committed or sins that have been committed against us, right? You know when you go to a funeral and you say to someone, maybe the person who had died, you say to the family member, and maybe they've been suffering for a long time, you say their suffering is over, and it almost becomes a cliche because everybody says it. It's so true. It's so true. We're more than conquerors because one day these bodies are going to be gone. Scripture calls them tents. These tents are going to be gone and we're going to be restored to brand new bodies. We have overwhelmingly, victoriously beaten our falling apart bodies because of Jesus. What a message of hope. That's such a message of hope. Whether it's your new knees, or one day you won't feel stress, or one day you won't have to take medication or be on dialysis, or one day you'll be free from the heartache of a loss that you had in your life, or an addiction or a pain, that's gone. We're more than conquerors because eventually we're going to have freedom from death and decay. What else? We're interceded for. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. The Spirit intercedes for us when we just can't. Whatever it is, we're too overwhelmed, we're too scared, we're too broken up, we're exhausted, we're guilty to call on God. The Holy Spirit says, I got you. I got you. I know you. I know God. I know how to pray for you. That's incredible. That's incredible. That's more than a conquering life. You know, and sometimes when we pray to God, we don't really know. We don't really pray in God's will because we're asking God what we think we need. And the Spirit's able to say, well, I can pray for you, but I'm going to pray for what you actually do need.
Yes.
Because what you actually do need is God's will.
Yes.
Right? And the Spirit comes and does that for us. That sure is more than a conqueror. Lastly, what makes us more than conquerors? We will always be loved. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. God never stops loving you. Never, ever. Think about what this says. The powers of hell can't separate you from God's love. That means even if you are eternally separated from God, and that's your choice, not God's choice, if you are eternally separated from God forever, he doesn't forget you. What painful love that must be for him. He doesn't stop loving you even then. Have you fully grasped what it means that God loves you? That means he is the one that satisfies you in every situation, not your spouse, not your job, not your friends, not your grades, not your big house, not your fast car. He is the one that satisfies you because his love never leaves you. The greatest of all time, the GOAT, loves you, and there's nothing you can do to change that. It's crazy. You know, we're more than conquerors because of him, the greatest of all time. Do you realize in your life who he is? Do you realize that you get all of these things from him to live a conquering life? I want to show you now my most favorite video describing God ever. It's powerful, but it's a reminder to us of exactly who he is. And then I'm going to close this out.
My king is the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder if you know him. My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be at all sufficient Savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies the strength for the weak. He's available for the gifted and the pride. He sympathizes and he saves. He's stricken and sustains.
Second verse for today, we're not even going to talk about it. But it says, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about us, it's so about him, right? We just saw who he is, how can we compete? But he says, you can come on my team. I'm the greatest of all time, I'm victorious, and I can give you overwhelming victory, and you can become more than conquerors if you come to my team. And if you live that way, if you follow my rules and my guidelines and you play this game of life with me, you will be more than a conqueror. You will have all of these things.
Yes.
And you will live like you have all of these things. We all have them.
Yes.
But we're not all living by them. Yes. Heavenly Father, thanks again for who you are. You are the GOAT. You are the greatest of all time. There is nobody who compares to you. But God, you don't hide it to yourself. You pass that on to your sons and to your daughters, and you say, you can have this victorious life. No matter what your past is, no matter what burden you carry, no matter what your regrets are, today, through Jesus Christ, you are part of my family, he says to us. And he says, I have a life for you that is victorious, not small cookies victory, overwhelming victory. So, Father, I ask for each one of us today to take that to heart and say, we're tired of having all the perks of being on your team but not using them. That we want to free our minds from the worry and the regrets and the fears of today and the hopes that we hope are in tomorrow. We want to free ourselves from that and focus completely on the victory that you give when we follow what your will is for our lives, God.